Another prayer request you could put on your list, the work in St. David. This past week, one of the ladies there went home to be with the Lord. Her husband is going through the onset of dementia, and looks like he'll be heading to a nursing facility. And that means out of the 8 in that congregation, it's trimmed down to 6. And that's something we need to pray for and consider what's going to happen in the future there. I believe God wants a thriving work in St. David. It's right there on the main road. And I know there's a lot of tourists that go by there, but I also know that there's a lot of people up in that area that need the witness that that church is going to give to that community. So pray that God would do something to keep that work alive and cause it to grow and flourish. Over the past 4 years that I've been here as a pastor, I have tried to create a culture where people who don't know the Lord from any particular persuasion or walk of life are welcome to come and start the journey of discovery to find out who Jesus is and what he wants to do. I've been very intentional in outreach through Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames, our involvement with the story tour, and our Friday outreach meal that we do. We've been very intentional with our outreach. I've worked very hard to make sure that you are spiritually well fed so that you can grow and be strong in the Lord. And I hope that you understand that probably about 99% of the time, you don't come Sunday morning and get what I call a Saturday night special. Hello? Because that might happen from time to time. I can't promise it would never, because I never know the circumstances that come during the week. But I take seriously my job getting alone with God in my office, getting into the Word of God so that I have something good to give you. Amen? So I hope it's not microwave meals. It's usually home cooked. And as we've been doing this, I slid right over something that's been a theme of my teaching for decades now. And that is simply this: our relationship with Jesus Christ takes priority over everything else. Everything else we do doesn't matter. All of the activities, all of the services, all of the outreach really doesn't matter if we don't take care of our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm going to go back to that and make sure that first things are first and that this is taken care of. Listen to the words of Jesus that confirm the importance of what I just shared with you. It's Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those he wanted. And they came to him. And he appointed 12, listen to this, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. I want you to see the first and foremost thing there is that he called them to be with him. And then he gave them the tools they needed to do the ministry. But the first thing was spending time with Jesus. We are chosen by God to spend time with Jesus. Can you say amen to that? Our first job is sitting at his feet, soaking up his presence. Our number one priority as believers is making sure that we are spending time in the presence of Jesus Christ. If we are, fruitfulness will come. Hello? If we aren't, we're going to dry up and die and not bear fruit. Jesus said this to the followers that he had gathered around him in John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So, based on that importance and the understanding that I just shared with you, I've cleared my preaching calendar for 2024, and I'm going to start a series today that will go on, if need be, the entire year, focusing on kindling a fresh fire in our hearts to passionately pursue Jesus in the place of prayer. This series has been inspired by a book that I picked up off my bookcase that I've had for a couple of years now that I just kind of pushed off, and I did some cleaning that you are well aware of. And in the cleaning, I thinned out 3 boxes of books that I haven't used in 5 years, and some of them probably haven't used in 20 years. And I figured if I haven't used them in 5 years, there's a good chance I'm not going to use them in the next 5. So I'm taking them down to faith school. They can use them in their library. What they don't want for the library, they can give out to the students there, and they can be a blessing to them. But I'm using a book called The Secrets of the Secret Place by Bob Sorg. And we're going to take as long as we need to do this series until the truth sets in and the application becomes part of our everyday lifestyle. He starts off early in his book with this interesting statement. Isn't it incredible that the awesome God of the universe has invited us to a breathing, growing relationship with Him? Do you ever think of that? When He calls us to the place of prayer, to quiet time, it's the God of the universe that's giving us that invitation. You know, I enjoy being around significant people. And I was really thrilled when we were in Back Bay, New Brunswick, and we were eating at the Chinese restaurant that was our favorite, House of Chan. And out through the window, I saw a motorcade going by, and I wondered what was going on. So I asked the waitress, and she said, oh, didn't you know that Prince Charles and Princess Diana are here, and the Royal Yacht Britannica is docked right over there in the harbor of St. John? And I thought, wow, what an opportunity. So we ate our meal and got our way over there. It was exciting to see Prince Charles, Princess Diana on that yacht. It was an exciting time. But when we're called to the place of prayer, we're called to the presence of someone who far outweighs the significance of Charles and Diana. Sorry, any of you Canadians. Sorry, any of you British people that are here. Amen. Jesus has called us to the place of prayer. What an awesome thrill. What will you say to that invitation? I hope to lay a foundation that will help us find out this morning. My prayer for the next several weeks or months, however long it takes, is that you will say yes to a daily fervent pursuit of Jesus in the secret place. But I must warn you first that the world that we're living in is strategically positioned to squeeze out of your life any time that you might have to give to pursue Christ in the secret place. So it's going to take your focus and your commitment to do this, but I want you to understand in the end, it will well be worth it. Because you see, reproductive spiritual power is unlocked in the shadow of the Almighty in the secret place. So I'm going to pray over this message and pray over you for God to start something special in our hearts today. Father, I ask you right now as we commence our journey to discover the secrets of the secret place of prayer that you will birth something in us that will spread to every corner of our being and every corner of our personal influence. God, please light a wildfire of Holy Ghost power in our hearts and blow on it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First thing I want to look at is the basis, the foundation for what we're calling the secret place. And I want to get this out there real early on and let you know that there's nothing mystical about the secret place. We're not talking about some magic place you go. It's not like, Wizard of Oz and getting the wizard to come out and grant you a spell. That's not it at all. The whole reason behind this teaching is to help us find a place that's conducive for privacy and intimacy when we pray. So the secret place is the place we can all work to find, where we can get along with God and get shut in with Him and get down to some serious praying. Our text for this is found in Matthew chapter 6, so let's go there. Verses 5 and 6. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's the teaching of Jesus. And in verse 5, Matthew chapter 6, it starts and says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and you, when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly." Hallelujah. Did you notice that in verse 6? "But when you pray." He didn't say if you pray, but when you pray. He assumed that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you were going to be spending time in prayer. So when you pray, this should be an automatic. Just like that little baby shortly after it's born, and the doctors examine all the fingers and toes and holds that baby up and sees it breathing and then gives it that little whack on the backside, and we hear that wonderful sound that we'll be hearing a lot of later on, crying. And the doctor says, perfect, there's life. Amen. Believers in Christ, followers of Jesus, ought to be spending time in prayer. Dick Eastman, who spent a good part of his ministry stirring the hearts of God's people all over the world in prayer, he was the leader and organizer of the Change the World School of Prayer. And in their prayer manual, he made an interesting little statement. Here's what he said. "My spiritual life equals my devotional life." You think you're spiritual? What's your devotional life look like? If you don't have a devotional life, you don't have much of a spiritual life. You just don't. My spiritual life equals my devotional life. So when you pray, you've got to establish that prayer time. It's important for you to get alone with God. Verse 6 goes on to say, "Go into your room." Establishing a place that you can use for prayer time is important. This should be a place where you can have privacy and intimacy, where you can be alone with God. And then verse 6 goes on to say, "And when you have shut the door." Well, we used to sing a song. I haven't heard it in decades. Shut in with God in the secret place. There in the spirit, beholding his face. Gaining new power to run in life's race. How I long to be shut in with God. Now, for some people, they think the shutting of the door is a little bit rude. How rude is that, that they go into this room, shut the door? The shutting of the door is our way of limiting distractions that will hinder our prayer time by limiting interruptions. You see, when you start considering what's going on there, a human being is spending time in the presence of the God of the universe, God Almighty, the Holy God, the God who's high and lifted up. There is no one being in all the world any more important than the being that believer is going in there to meet with. So it's all right for them to shut that door because it's important time and they're saying, we don't want any interruptions. So when you go into your room and you have shut the door, verse 6 goes on to say, pray to the Father who is in the secret place. Now, I read that from the New King James Version because some of the other versions don't put this part in there. Did you catch what he was saying? When you go into your room and shut the door, you'll discover that the Father is there in your secret place. He beat you there. When you get there, he's already there. I have an idea he might be waiting for us to come. And he might even look at us and say, well, it's nice to see you here this morning. I've been waiting for you for a long time. Or he might say, nice that you could make it today. Amen? He's already there. God is in the secret place waiting for us to get there so that he can interact with us and we can have fellowship with him. That's the foundation of this whole concept of the secret place. The next thing I want you to see is the burden of the secret place. What do I mean by the burden? This is the area where it helps us understand what falls on our responsibility and the cost that we're going to pay to get involved with this. Notice again, it said when you pray, not if you pray. So the first responsibility I'm going to challenge you with is for you to set a time for prayer. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Set a time for prayer. If you never set a time for prayer, you will probably never develop an important prayer time. This passage is part of the Sermon on the Mount that began in Matthew 5. The crowd that Jesus was instructing was largely Jewish, and they had been instructed since their early childhood experience in the synagogue to pray three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. So they understood the importance, and it was nothing new that Jesus was teaching them. Daniel chapter 6, 10 through 12 shows us that Daniel prayed three times a day. God used him incredibly in his life. At one point, he was more influential than the emperor of the world empire he was serving under. He was a man of prayer. Psalm 55, 17 echoes this. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. That's what the psalmist said. S.D. Gordon, who was a very popular writer and preacher at the end of the 19th century and the beginning of the 20th century, made this statement. The one who does not make time for prayer will never find time to pray. Why is that? Because the world around us is strategically positioned to squeeze up all of that time. And you will find something more important, quote unquote, to do than pray. I don't know about you, but when I go to get into the Word of God, I have a parade of things that go through my mind. I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to take care of that. And you know what I've learned is the best way to deal with that? I just wait until that parade's gone all by. If I need to jot a note or mark something on my calendar, let the parade go by. When the parade's done, I open the book and get into the book. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This is an important time. We need to make time for our devotional life. We need to make time for prayer. And then the second thing that's part of our obligation and responsibility, it falls on us. God's not going to do this for us. Go to your room. Now, this is not scolding. Go to your room for a time out. You're in trouble. Go to your room to pray. Go to that place that you have set as a set place for prayer. This is extremely beneficial. And it may not always be the same place you go to. You might have two places or three places you can go to. But you need to set a place that is your prayer room, your prayer place. Amen? As we do this, we will follow believers from all the ages past in habits that were important to them. Genesis 19:27 shows us that Abraham built altars as places for his prayer and his worship. When he changed his location, you know what he did? He built another altar, always making sure he had a special place to go to for prayer time. Genesis 24, verse 63 tells us that Isaac had a field he would go to spend time in prayer. Daniel 6:10 indicates Daniel had a chamber where he spent time in prayer. He would open the windows from his chamber and he would pray. Habakkuk had a watchtower, Habakkuk 2:1. And Jesus, we know, had a garden, a solitary place where he could go. Rick Renner gives us some thoughts about the secret place. And as I was reading them, I thought they might be helpful to you. Some translations call the secret place a closet, which they get from the Greek word tamion. This word was used early on to depict a secret place where one would hide their most valuable possessions. As time went on, this word came to mean a vault to secure valuables, much like a vault at the bank or a safety deposit box. Eventually, it came to mean a bedroom, a secret place where a treasured relationship between a husband and wife take place. This was an intimate and private place. That's where God's calling us. Renner concludes that this verse from Matthew could actually be translated as this: when it is time for you to pray, enter into your bedchamber, and when you have shut the door behind you and secured a place of privacy and intimacy, then begin to pray. Amen? Are you following me? All right? A set time is helpful. A set place is good. It doesn't matter where we establish this set place, but that we actually do it. The point to be taken here is that each one of us must have a quiet, private place and a set time. But then there's another responsibility that we have got to establish. And I ask you very personally this morning, do you have a set heart? Is your heart set to pursue God? You remember it was said of Jesus at one time when he understood the suffering that was going to come and that he was getting to that point in his ministry where he would start walking to it. The scripture says in one translation, he set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem. He made a determination. This is what God has chosen for me. I'm not going to walk away from it. I'm going to resolutely go after it, purposely going where this is going to take place. We've got to be resolute. We've got to be firm. We've got to be committed. I am going to pray, and I'm going to establish a prayer life. Set your heart for the secret place. Amen. You won't be disappointed. You see, there's a special blessing that's there. Verse 6, part C and D, it gives us the two different blessings that are there. The biggest part is it says your Father is in the secret place. Wow. You know, when I think of my dad, he was born in 1931. He's been gone way, way, way too long. He died when he was 67. Today, I would give or do almost anything to spend time in his presence. And it's been over 20 years. There's still times in my office or when I'm riding in my truck. that something triggers a thought of my dad, and tears begin to well up in my eyes. Because we didn't have a lot of time together, because dad worked two jobs the whole time I was home. And most of our married life, while he was here, he worked two full-time jobs, full-time teacher and a full-time night watchman. Part of that, he actually worked full-time in a factory. Talk about a worker. So when dad was home and we had time, it was special. I was the oldest, so I can remember on Friday nights, and this goes back into the 60s, and some of you will remember it. Friday night on the network TV stations that we had three, ABC, NBC, and CBS. Friday night was Friday night at the fights. Gillette sponsored it, all right? So mom would let me stay up past all the other kids to watch the fights and wait until dad got home at 11 o'clock when he was done from his shift. And what was that? That was special time. When you get to the secret place, your father is in the secret place. That makes it a special time. There's no more glorious person to spend time with than our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. The joy, the wonder of just sitting at His feet and sensing His presence and letting it flow over our hearts and do a work inside of us that nobody else could ever do. That's part of the reward in itself. Father is there in the secret place. And then the scripture goes on to say, when you go to the secret place and pray to the one who sees in secret, he will reward you openly. You don't go there to get open pats on the back or open rewards, but you go there, and when you're spending time there, you will find those rewards, and you will walk out of there rewarded. There'll be a spring in your step. There's going to be a little different look in your face. You're going to be lighter in your heart. You're going to be easier to live with because you've spent time in the presence of God Almighty. Love itself was there with you. That is the reward. Your Father's there, and the Father who's there in secret will reward you openly. But all of this boils down to you and I making a decision. Ruth, could you come up to the piano this morning? Just play something conducive to spend some time praying together, if you would. I ask you this morning, do you, in this message, hear the Savior's voice calling you away to the place of prayer? Do you hear that gentle whisper, come away, my beloved. I've got secrets to show you. I've got things to share with you in the secret place. Are you willing to put aside whatever's going on? I know to go to the secret place, you're going to have to adjust your schedule. To go to the secret place on a regular basis, you're going to have to cross some things off your calendar and mark a line through that time and say this is already spoken for and occupied, but it will be worth it all. And I'm wondering this morning, as we start our day of prayer with Assemblies of God believers all around the world, when we go into our 21-day Daniel fast, wouldn't it be appropriate for us today to make a commitment around this altar that by the grace of God, I am going to pursue the place of prayer? You see, for us to set our hearts, we need to take an action. And sometimes it's a simple symbolic action, like getting out of your seat and coming and standing or kneeling at this altar to say, I'm going to make a commitment, and it starts now, to the secret place. Ruth's going to play a song for us. As she plays that and sings it, If your heart is saying, yes, I'm setting my heart for the secret place, come and join me around this altar.
I long to be shut in with God.